Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is from John 16, 4 through 14. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I did not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of the truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would bless this service. I pray that you bless the words that Tommy has to say and deliver to your people. I pray that we would have open hearts and open minds to hear and receive the teaching this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning's text continues the conversation that Jesus Christ is having with his disciples. And the context of it is really informative, because as Jesus Christ is facing his death, he's sitting down with his disciples, and he is letting them know what is to come. It's particularly interesting because, as you heard, Jesus Christ kind of opens this, and he says, I've not yet told you these things because I've been with you. Now, the things that he's talking about here are things that are pretty frightening, pretty scary stuff, right? You guys remember the conversation prior to this, right? Conversation prior to this is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's saying, hey, listen, the world's going to hate you because they hated me. The world is going to persecute you because they persecuted me. And he's saying to them, essentially, he's like, listen, what you got to understand here is I haven't talked to you about this before because I've been the one receiving the fire. I've been the one in their sights. I'm the one who's getting it to this point. But now that I'm going to go, you need to understand, you're next in line. Now, if you're the disciples, kind of depressing, isn't it? You're kind of looking at this going, oh, great, this is going to be fun. And so Jesus Christ is talking to them because he's saying, you guys are afraid, you guys are concerned, you guys are worried, because I'm not going to be here any longer. But I'm telling you this, he says, for a reason. Because immediately after he talks about that, and he says there's going to be persecution, and that there's going to be opposition, and there's going to be hatred towards them, he says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. To keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogue. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think they are offering a service to God. He's saying, I tell you all this stuff because I don't want you to fall away. I'm trying to get you prepared for this. If you remember what he said to them prior to this on two separate occasions, he said, listen, I want to tell you this. I want you to understand this so that my peace will be in you. I want to talk to you about this so that your joy may be complete, that my joy will be in you and your joy will be full. I'm telling you this so that you don't fall away. He's saying all of this is so that you guys understand who you are in me. We've been talking all throughout this series, and we've been talking about how the book of John is so valuable because John's whole intention is, I want you to understand Jesus. I want you to understand what he was doing. I want you to understand why he came. I want you to understand who he is. I want you to understand his nature, his teaching. I want you to grasp this because it's in knowing him that there is life and that there is light in this dark world. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I love you guys. I care about you guys. I don't want you to fall away. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to have peace. I want you to have joy, even in the midst of it. And so this is what I'm trying to get you to understand. My heart is for you. This is to your advantage. I'm trying to help you. I'm emphasizing this because I think each one of us, where we sit today, need to realize that the message Jesus Christ is giving to the disciples there is the message to us. He cares about us. He wants our joy to be complete. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to not fall away from the truth in spite of the opposition we might face. And in this, he says, this is how we go. This is how you get there. As you face worldly resistance, as you face opposition and persecution, he's telling us how to be prepared. And in this morning's conversation, and the conversation we're highlighting today, there is this very specific work that produces very specific benefits to the church. And it is this work, these benefits provided to us by God the Father and God the Son that will enable us to find joy, to find peace, to not fall away. There is a specific gift that empowers the work of Christ in the life of the believer and the mission of the church, and it's a biggie. Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. You know what the biggie is? You know what the huge gift is that the Father is giving, that Jesus Christ is sending? It is the Helper. It is the Comforter. It is the Holy Spirit. Now, this is really an interesting declaration that to begin with you have to take special note of. Jesus Christ says, it is to your advantage that I go away that the Holy Spirit can come. It is better for you that I go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. That's a pretty profound declaration, isn't it? How many of you think it would be great if Jesus were here right now? How many, if you're the disciples and you're walking around with Jesus and the things that you saw, Jesus pulled people out of graves and they walked away. Jesus had people have their eyes healed in front of them miraculously. Jesus healed cripples, healed lepers, did amazing things. He stood up in front of crowds and he would preach a message that would pierce people's hearts and transform them in a moment. How many of you think that would be cool to have Jesus here? There's a lot of people who talk about their faith and they say, well, if only I was with Jesus. I mean, it's one thing if you're walking with Jesus like disciples were, or the people who were around him, they were with Jesus. I could see being convinced. I could see following after him. If only Jesus were here. Do you know that Jesus disagrees with you? Because that's what he says, right? It is better for you that I go so that the Spirit may come. We sit in this moment in the age of the Holy Spirit. We sit in this moment in the benefit of the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ said was better than his very presence. Each one of us sits here today with the benefit of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he gave it to us in these moments, in this time, so that our joy may be full and complete, that we may live in peace, that we don't fall away. Because in the midst of the world in which we live, it is better that he sent the Holy Spirit than even he himself is here. This for us needs to be an encouragement. This for us needs to be something in which we realize the great gift we have, the great blessing we have. We oftentimes think that it's better that Jesus would be here, but he is telling us that it is better that the Holy Spirit comes and we can live in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He says it's better that we have the Holy Spirit. And how does that better manifest itself in the life of the believer and the mission of the church? Jesus talks about it in very specific details in this conversation that he's having with his disciples. And the first idea I want to highlight is expressed in verse 12. And it really has profound implications for who we are and where we're at in our walk in Christ in this world. Look at what it says. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. When the Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, do you see something there that's really interesting? Do you see something really interesting about what Jesus Christ is saying about the reason the Holy Spirit is coming? He starts it out and he says, listen, there are many more things I need to say to you. There are many more things I need to tell you. There are many more ideas that I have for you. I have things to teach you. I have things to tell you. I have things you need to understand. And since I'm going away, I'm going to spend the Holy Spirit, because what is Jesus saying the Holy Spirit is going to do? The reason why Jesus Christ is sending the Holy Spirit is because Jesus has more things to tell us. Jesus has more things to teach us. Jesus has more things to reveal to us. So he's sending the Holy Spirit because he's like, I have to go. I'm on mission here. I have to die on the cross. I have to be buried. I have to be resurrected. I have to defeat sin. I have to defeat hell. I have to defeat the grave. And then I'm going to be brought up to heaven, and I still have things for you to know that I want to teach you. This is important because we have to realize that Jesus didn't stop speaking, didn't stop instructing, didn't stop teaching, didn't stop bringing his revelation, didn't stop bringing his truth, his instruction after his death. You realize that's what he's saying here, right? He's saying, I still got more things I want to teach you, so I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. There is this idea that if Jesus didn't specifically, in red letters, speak about this or that, Jesus must not have had an opinion on this or that. There are all those people out there who are just claim to be, I'm a red letter Christian. You guys know what that is, right? How many of you guys got Bibles that have red letters in it, right? There's red letter Bibles out there, and they say, well, we're going to highlight what Jesus said, and so they highlight it in red. And so there's all these people out there, and their idea is, well, if Jesus didn't say it, he mustn't have had an opinion on it. If Jesus didn't talk about it, it mustn't have been his ideas. You know, Jesus' words are really important. This other stuff we see, these other ideas, these other things that are taught, they're probably important, but not as important as what Jesus is teaching us. What did Jesus say here? I'm done with my red letters, but I still got more to teach you. Right? This is an important idea because you have to embrace the reality that Jesus Christ is continually teaching us. Because according to Jesus, he says, I still have many things to say to you. When the Spirit comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. The revelation that comes by the Holy Spirit given to the truth to the church is a truth that comes from Christ. Jesus tells us clearly here that Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit to his people to teach them his truth. So where does the Holy Spirit reveal Christ's teaching after Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension? How does the revelation that Jesus is referring to come to the church after his death? How does the Holy Spirit teach us what Christ still has for us to learn? Well, the primary means by which the Holy Spirit brings forth Jesus' ongoing teachings is hinted at by Jesus in the next chapter. In chapter 17, it is known as Christ's high priestly prayer, where he goes directly from this instruction to the disciples about what is to come in the near and distant future where he talks about the idea that I'm sending the Holy Spirit because he's going to teach you what you need to know and what I still have not yet taught you. He goes in and he prays a prayer for the disciples and for his coming church. The chapter opens with this. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him." So Jesus Christ right here, he's basically talking, he's praying a prayer for those that Christ has given him in salvation, those that have been following him, those who've been his disciples. And he prays his prayer and he says, "Listen, I want to pray for these that you've given me before I go to the cross, before I go and die and glorify you." And then you see who his prayer is for. "For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours." And then he gives insight into the breadth of his prayer and the ongoing means by which this message and teaching will continue. "I do not ask for these only, the disciples, but also for those who believe in me through their word." Who's there here? The disciples, right? So far, I hope you guys are following me. What's going on here is Jesus Christ is praying for his church. He starts out his prayer and he says, "I want to pray for these guys who have been following me, the disciples who have been with me, those who have believed in me that you've given me through the message, you've given them to me, and they believe in me. And I'm praying for them. But I'm not just praying for these disciples that are in front of me." He's saying, "I am praying for those who will believe in me because of their message, because of their mission, because of what they say." What you're seeing here is you're seeing Jesus Christ rolling into this idea. If he's saying, the Holy Spirit is going to continue to teach more about me, reveal more about me. The Holy Spirit is going to continue to give you my message, my truth, my teaching. And I'm going to do it through my disciples. I'm going to send them out. Who is it through whom others will believe? The disciples. The disciples who become the apostles. And we see that arrangement manifested in the narrative upon the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2, don't we? So in Acts chapter 2, we see where Jesus Christ pours out the Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit to the church as he just predicted. As Jesus said, "I'm going to go away. When I'm gone, I'm going to send the comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the helper." And the helper is the one that is then going to continue to teach my teachings, my words, what I'm thinking that I haven't had time to tell you yet. So we go to chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, and he rushes into that upper room, and tongues of fire fall on them, and they pour out in the streets, and they begin to preach. In that moment, they begin to preach and bring revelation of Jesus Christ under the power of the Holy Spirit, and people, it says, are cut to their heart, cut to the quick, and they say, "What must we do to be saved?" So Peter calls in the repentance, calls in the relationship with Jesus Christ, and what we're told is that thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people that day enter into the church. And then we find out how the church learns more of what Jesus Christ is trying to teach the church. Because as we look, the description of where the church learns things is in verse 42. "And that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers." They devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching, right? So are you following exactly the process in which Jesus Christ is talking about? Jesus Christ is saying, "Listen, it's better that I go. It's better that I go because the Holy Spirit will come and begin to teach you things that I haven't had time to teach you." So what's going to happen is in Acts chapter 2, the Spirit comes, and then he says in his pastoral prayer, God, I want you to bless these people through whom, I want you to bless these disciples, these apostles, through whom others will believe what they say and what they teach. The Spirit of God comes in chapter 2. The apostles then receive the Holy Spirit, begin to teach, and this is how the church learns. So what Jesus Christ is teaching us by the Holy Spirit is through the apostles. And this is how the church learns what Jesus has to say. This is what Paul is saying as he writes in 2 Timothy. Because what he's talking about in 2 Timothy is the teachings handed down by the apostles. Because what we see when we open up the Word of God is what? The teaching of the apostles, right? They write down, when Acts chapter 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the apostles teach things. The church devotes themselves to those teachings, come by the Holy Spirit. And the only difference between the first century church and where we are now is we're reading what the apostles were teaching. It's the same thing. It is important for us to realize that all scripture, as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. And the reason that is the case is because it is not the teachings of Paul, it is not the teachings of Peter, it is not the teachings of John, it is not the teachings of James, it is the teaching of Jesus Christ brought by the power of the Holy Spirit to us in his church. This is an important reality that we all have to embrace. It is not just about the red letters. It is about all the letters given by the Holy Spirit. It is Jesus Christ teaching each one of us by the power of his Holy Spirit what he would have us as the church know. This is the point. Jesus tells us through the Holy Spirit, he will continue to teach us his teaching after his death. And he reveals that the ongoing teaching will come through his disciples, his apostles, for his church. We see the pattern in Acts. We see the apostles sharing his teaching through their writing. And so we receive the inspired word of God, God breathed by the Holy Spirit through the apostles as Christ's promised teaching ongoing to us. There should be no greater weight given to the red letters because every letter in his word is his ongoing teaching because he sent the church his Holy Spirit. Now, in addition to that, we see the work of the Holy Spirit in a personal, internal way, teaching and revealing truth. Whatever the Holy Spirit reveals will always be in accordance with his revelations throughout his word. And what I'm trying to talk about here right now is the fact that the Holy Spirit continues to work in our lives personally. We see it manifested in Acts throughout the church's history. We see Paul teaching about it in 1 Corinthians. We see the Holy Spirit teaching the church and speaking to the church in things like revelations and prophetic words and words of wisdom and words of knowledge. All of these things are gifts of the Holy Spirit that are meant for us to learn about Jesus. But what you have to understand is every word that comes from the Holy Spirit will be in alignment with every word that comes from the Holy Spirit. There is no revelation in the church. There is no prophetic word in the church. There is no words of knowledge or wisdom in the church that goes counter to the words given by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit is just continuing to teach us Jesus. It's not the Holy Spirit's words. It's not the Holy Spirit's ideas. It's not the words of a man. It's not the words or ideas of a man. It is Jesus Christ in his mercy and grace by the gift of his Holy Spirit continuing to teach us what he would have for us. But as we look at the words of Jesus Christ here, there is another revelation about the ongoing work of Christ done by the Holy Spirit that is not directed at the church, but directed at the world. He writes and he said, Jesus, it's written here, and Jesus says, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. Jesus Christ here is continuing to talk about the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit that is coming and how important that is, how much it is better for the Holy Spirit to be here to do this work than for him to be there himself. This is a part of Christ's insistence that it is better for him to leave and the Holy Spirit to come so that his work and his teaching will continue in the world. And at the center of that work and at the center of that word is the conviction of the world. You see, Jesus Christ is talking about very clearly here that central to his calling, central to his mission, central to his time on this earth is to convict the world of the sin, convince them of his righteousness, and to teach them that there's judgment coming for those that reject him. Jesus in this lays out the pathway of redemption that all must walk to find life in him. Be convinced, be convicted of your sin. Come to the conviction of the righteousness of Jesus and understand the judgment that rests on all who continue in the way of the ruler of this world, Satan. Jesus in this declaration is highlighting in this way that the Holy Spirit will continue the work that he has been doing throughout his ministry. That there is more conviction of sin, more conviction of the righteousness found in Jesus Christ, and more conviction of judgment for rejecting the message of Christ that needs to be done. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and do that work. You have to realize that this is what Jesus is central. This is what Jesus was doing throughout his ministry. Here in a nutshell, we can find Christ's message in John chapter 8. This encompasses all that Jesus Christ came to do and that the Holy Spirit is going to be doing ongoing in our presence. This is Jesus Christ. He said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Do you see how just in that one declaration, he encompasses everything he just described the Holy Spirit is going to be doing? He says, you're in your sins. You're a sinner. Unless you believe in my righteousness, you will die in your sin and you will face judgment. This has been the central message that Jesus Christ has brought. Jesus Christ in this passage is telling us the Holy Spirit will continue his work globally, simultaneously, through all time and space to bring forth conviction of sin, to bring forth the conviction of the righteousness found in Jesus Christ, and to bring forth to persuade people that judgment is coming. You are in your sin. Unless you receive my righteousness, you will die to judgment. Jesus Christ in this passage is telling the world that the Holy Spirit will continue his work globally, simultaneously, throughout all time and space to bring conviction for sin. Now, set on that for a moment. Do you know what this means? It means sin is an issue. For many of us, we want to ignore that conversation. We want to set that conversation aside. We want to talk more about the love of Jesus. Jesus just loves people and cares for people and loves people and cares for people. He wants to accept all people, all things, all going on. People just make their decisions and do their thing, and Jesus just loves and loves and loves. He's a happy hippie, handing out flowers. And the reality is, Jesus Christ says, I have come and the Spirit is here to convict you of your sin. The reason he does that is because sin separates us from a relationship with Jesus Christ. It separates us from a relationship with a holy God. Jesus says that the reason he came was to save us from our sin, so that we might find hope and redemption through him. The central to sin, a central understanding of sin for anyone is the understanding that what sin ultimately is, it is a rejection of God and Jesus. It is essentially saying, I don't live under the authority of God. I don't live under the rules of God. I don't live under God's sovereignty. I live according to my own desires, my own wants, my own whatever. This is what we saw in the Garden of Eden come forth where Adam and Eve said, it doesn't really matter what God told me. I want to set out for myself how I am governed. It is what we see in the Old Testament. It says, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And as a result of that, judgment came. At the center of sin is ultimately this. I live for myself and ignore my Creator. I live for my wants and ignore my God. I make myself God, and I say what is right and what is wrong. Now, that reality manifests itself in all sorts of ways. It manifests itself in the attitudes we have. It manifests itself in the words we say. It manifests in the actions we do. It manifests itself in our sexuality. It manifests ourselves in our addictions. It manifests ourselves in our anger. It manifests ourselves in our selfishness. It manifests itself a lot of different ways. But at the core of it is ultimately us saying, I want to do what I want to do, regardless of who God is or what God says. Sin separates you from God. And the Holy Spirit has come to tell you and to convict you that sin is destructive. Now, that would be a sad message. That would be a sad idea if the Holy Spirit didn't also come to simultaneously, globally, throughout all time and space, convince those of us who are in sin that there is hope in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit is not just to leave us in our sins, but tell us that Jesus Christ himself is righteous. And that he has come that you might find righteousness in him. That his righteousness may be laid upon you. The imputing of Jesus Christ's righteousness on you. The Holy Spirit has come to draw us into that understanding, into that truth, into that reality that we would never find on our own. But he comes in and he says, yes, you're in sin. But if you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you sit and you say, make the declaration, I am living for myself and rejection of God, and I'm sorry for that. I want to follow God. I want to know God, and I want to step into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I repent of that pathway, and I follow after Jesus Christ. When we do that, Jesus tells us his righteousness is laid upon us, and we can find a relationship with God. The work of the Holy Spirit is not just to convict us of our sins, but to convince us of the righteousness of Jesus available to us. And finally, the Holy Spirit also then is here to persuade us that judgment is coming to those who reject him. You need to understand that judgment is not an invention of a church or of a religion, but it is the reality revealed by Jesus himself. Remember what he said in John chapter 5. And he has given him authority to execute judgment. He's speaking of himself because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. This is Jesus convincing you, imploring you, telling you that judgment is coming. This is the pathway to salvation for those who are lost. And it is why I say each one of us should rejoice deeply in the gift of the Holy Spirit who's come to walk us down this path. You see, when Jesus Christ talks about the world here, that declaration, that idea, that concept is not separated from each one of us. It is better that the Holy Spirit comes because upon his arrival, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. This is such an important work of the Holy Spirit that each of us can thank God that the Holy Spirit is active to this day, because we should never forget that we were once all in the world. We were once all in that place until the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sins, convinced us of the hope found in the righteousness of Christ, and persuaded us away from the judgment that awaits. Paul, I think, puts it most beautifully in Ephesians chapter 5. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. It is better that the Holy Spirit came, because of his calling, because of his coming, the door is wide open for us to walk this pathway to redemption. He convicts us of our sins. He convinces us of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and he persuades us that judgment awaits those who reject the gift of Jesus. Each one of us, no matter where we're at this morning, has this message for us. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're at on this journey. The message that the Holy Spirit has given is for us. For those of us who sit here even now and have not embraced the righteousness that is provided to them by Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now and saying, you are living in sin. It is a place that you don't have to stay, because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is available to you, and all you have to do is repent, turn from your sin, and follow after him, and you won't have to face judgment. This is the message the Holy Spirit has for you right now. But it is also a message that we who have found Jesus Christ can rejoice in. That we should sit where we are in our humility and say, the Holy Spirit came to me and convicted me of my sin. The Holy Spirit came and showed me and convinced me of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit saved me from the judgment that was waiting for me. It is better that the Holy Spirit has come. For Jesus Christ has been giving us his message throughout all time, globally, simultaneously, and will continue to do that because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. In this, we can rejoice.